7-1.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
The biggest names, the biggest teams, and the biggest moments are happening all month long in October. Major League Baseball playoffs is now here, along with all the incredible NFL and college football games. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Use promo code PODCAST1 and receive a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag. This is Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studios. I'm Jim Beaver, your host, getting it locked and loaded here for another edition of the Anything Goes podcast. I know we're in the sports and recreation category, but we cover any and all people that I deem rad, whether they are from action sports, regular sports, motor sports, gaming, I don't know, celebrities, movies, MMA. You never know what's going to happen here on Project Action. And today's guest does not disappoint. We have a very special one today, Victoria Arlen. A lot of you may know her from ESPN. She is a host over there, but she also has an amazing story that definitely is remarkable. It's the easiest way to put it. And she goes into depth on her story. She's also got a book out. She's been on Dancing with the Stars. She's also won gold medals in swimming. Just an amazing human being. And it's so special to have her on and be able to tell her story today. I think you guys are definitely going to enjoy this one. Thank you guys for tuning in. If this is your first time, thank you. If you've been here since the beginning, thank you. Thank you. You never know who is going to show up on Project Action. That's for sure. Next couple of weeks, I know we've got my good friend Eddie Braun. He is a stuntman. Just had a movie about him called, coincidentally, Stuntman. But he is the guy who decided that he wanted to recreate Evel Knievel's Snake River Canyon jump and launch himself in a rocket over the canyon. Yeah, that is right. That Eddie Braun, there's a movie about it. Obviously, I mentioned Stuntman, but he's my guest next week. We've also got my friend Matt DeAndrea. You know him from the Adam Carolla CarCast show. He also helps manage Adam Carolla's car collection. He's got his own car collection. Stoked to have Matt DeAndrea coming up in the next couple of weeks as well. I know we've got a couple actors on the line coming up in the next few weeks also. So thank you guys for tuning in. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button to Project Action. Please leave a rating and or a review. And if you leave a review, make sure and leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review. And when I see that username, I will follow you back on social media. It's the easiest way to get a follow from me. So if you want that, head over, leave a review on iTunes, and boom, you're going to get a follow back from me, as long as you leave your handle there, so I actually know where to find you. Same goes for my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. We drop that not only here on the Podcast One Network, but it's on Tuesdays on my website, downanddirtyshow.com. All kinds of written content over there, and I don't know, photos, videos, stuff like that. If you're into motorsports, definitely check out downanddirtyshow.com. Follow me on social media. It's at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. Also have a Facebook group, Jim Beaver's Action Motorsports Discussion. Talk a lot of racing, car stuff there. And also I have a second Instagram account called at Down and Dirty Show for my national show, but we also post all kinds of stuff there. So that should have the bases covered. In next couple of weeks too, be looking on the lookout for me. I will be at SEMA doing a live show from the Vision Wheel Booth Tuesday at SEMA. Also be doing a live show from Camp Razor at Glamis the weekend before. I'll be hosting the Off-Road Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I'll be up on stage with the legend Ricky Johnson doing that. So man, it is going to be a busy couple of weeks for me. And then looking at November, man, you want to talk Podcast One? I will be a guest on two separate shows on Podcast One. One, I'm going to be a guest on my good friend Spike Ferriston's show called Spike's Car Radio there on Podcast One. We're going to talk on all things cars. And then I'm actually recording the same day, but it will probably drop on a different day. But my good friend Natalie Ava Marie, you know her from WWE, E-Total Divas. Now she's got a podcast on the Podcast One Network. She's also an actress with her and her husband, Jonathan Coyle. I will be a guest on their podcast as well. That is the Natalie Ava Marie Show. So make sure and subscribe to both that and Spike's Car Radio on Podcast One, because I will be a guest upcoming on both of those shows. You don't want to miss them. So, yes, we do have Victoria Arlen on the show today. I am very, very excited about this. But before we get to Victoria Arlen, I do have to tell you about our amazing partners here on Project Action on Podcast One. And one of those is our good friends at Bet Online. You know, October means one thing: sports, excitement, NFL, college football, and now the Major League Baseball playoffs. Every pitch, every swing, every play is important. You don't want to miss out on all the action and fun, so head over to betonline.ag today and make your online wagers and take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1, receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's PODCAST1, and get a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag. It's the biggest names, the biggest teams, the biggest moments, all happening all month long of October. MLB playoffs, NFL, college football. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Use the promo code PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus today at betonline.ag. And, you know, I do have to tell you about our good friends over there at TrueCar. You know, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what's it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. And all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something to you. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what people paid for the car you want in your area, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if the true price is a great price? Well, because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car you want, and the certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car today and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know, everybody has a to-do list. I know I do. I'm sure you do. Every day it starts out, and I got a million things on it. And sometimes it gets longer. Sometimes it gets shorter. Most of the time it stays pretty long. You know, everything from dropping off the dry cleaning, picking up some groceries, you know, paying some bills. Where, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off anything, and you don't have to go anywhere to pick anything up. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, that is you listening to this, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And you know, one thing I got to talk to you guys about is AMSOIL. You know the importance of using a good synthetic oil in your power sports equipment. But what about your daily driver? Well, today's downsized turbocharged engines run hotter and create more engine-damaging contaminants than ever before. Yesterday's motor oil just doesn't cut it in today's engines. That's why you need AMSOIL synthetic motor oil. Teams in Monster Energy Supercross, AMSOIL Championship Snowcross, and more rely on AMSOIL synthetic motor oil to protect their engines on the track and in the haulers that get them to the races, and so should you. AMSOIL Signature Series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by industry-leading standards. It provides the next-level protection today's demanding engines need to keep running for years. All you have to do is go to AMSOIL.com/Beaver, that's my last name, AMSOIL.com/Beaver today, and find out how AMSOIL synthetic motor oil keeps your vehicle running great tomorrow. Once again, that's AMSOIL.com/Beaver. Thank you to all our amazing partners here on Project Action on Podcast One. And with that, I'm going to roll right into this amazing interview with Victoria Arlen. All right. I'd like to welcome my guest, Victoria Arlen, to the show today. Thank you for taking the time to come on the show, Victoria. How's everything been with you?
Everything's been great. It's been a little chaotic, but really, really good. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, you know, I was doing my research. I think we actually may have a mutual friend, somebody that's actually a really good friend of mine, Alyssa Roenick, there at ESPN. I know she did a piece with you, I think, on ESPNW, but just one of those things where I was like, oh, sometimes I can connect the dots with different people and things like that. So,
oh my gosh, I love her to pieces. Yeah, we did X Games together, and I actually just saw her at the ESPNW Summit.
Yeah, she's amazing. She actually, her kind of pseudo sister-in-law, Jolene Van Vuit, is actually one of my partners in my race program. And Alyssa actually came to a race last year and co-drove with me in my race car for like 50 miles. So, yeah, it was awesome to have her in the car calling notes and things like that, an off-road car. It was just a ton of fun. She's like, she's game for anything.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's such a beautiful human and an incredible storyteller. And, that's so cool that you got to do that with her.
Yeah, no, it was a ton of fun. But, yeah, no, welcome to the show. We got a ton to catch up on. I mean, everything from your past to ESPN now and, you know, and everything that you're doing. But I guess the big one is you know, I guess we'll kind of go back to the start. But, you recently have your book Locked In that, you know, that came out, you know, that's about your story. And I think, you know, I guess that's where we should start off on. But, you know, I guess going back to the beginning, I mean, and, you know, kind of take us through this process because, you know, now, I mean, I see the interviews with you and things like that. You're very positive. You know, you want to, you know, you want to help people. And, you know, and I think that's what's amazing about this whole story, you know, is a lot of people, you know, it's like they want to just kind of push that part of their lives away and you've kind of embraced it. And it's like, hey, how can I help people learn from this? You know?
I think I had to learn to embrace it. I think a lot of recent experiences has helped me with that. But I mean, for a while, it was really hard to talk about it. And I think writing about it and then kind of telling my story in a different way when I did Dancing with the Stars a year ago helped me embrace it and helped me see the bigger impact of it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I don't want to say hits home to me, but my daughter's 10 and I absolutely love her to death. And I know at 11, this thing kind of happened with you. And so I look at her and I see her almost at the same age when this whole thing hit with you. And I'm like, wow, like such a kid, you know, a young kid you were at 11 and, you know, and that's such a big part of your life in those years right there. And, you know, I mean, did you guys have any, you know, before this happened? I mean, obviously it was just out of left field, right? It wasn't like you were born and they, you know, thought, oh, this is something that could happen eventually. I mean, this was just kind of out of nowhere, right?
Oh, this was completely out of nowhere. I was the kid that never got sick. I think the most I ever dealt with was an ear infection. So to go kind of out of the blue and then eventually become catatonic was unheard of. And for my family, it made no sense. I mean, I think that was the biggest struggle that my brothers dealt with is they're like, she's the last person we could ever imagine this happening to. And in a lot of cases that goes, you know, it comes out of left field and it was so rare and unknown at the time that it just very quickly declined.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and that being said, I know, you know, part of it, you know, the big part of this story, you know, Locked In is that you were locked in your body for 4 years. And I mean, everything, your mind, everything functioned. You knew what was going on. You just had absolutely no way to relay that to the outside world, right?
Yeah, I didn't initially realize that I was locked in because there was so much going on and it was so chaotic. And then I realized very quickly that no one knows that I'm in here. And I had to basically kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together of how did I get here?
Wow. You know, and that's what's crazy. I mean, you had no idea, you know, because your mind was still functioning, you know what I mean, like it did before, that you were locked in. I mean, what happened when you came to that realization? Because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you know, 4 years it's a massive amount of time. That's the amount of time people spend in high school or college. I mean, you know, you had a lot of thinking to do in that period of time.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think I initially panicked. I was like, what is going on? How did I get here? And then I realized, by the grace of God that I really had to kind of shift my mindset and think about things to be grateful for and things that, okay, how am I going to get out of this, not just kind of succumb to it and let it take me over. And so it was a long time. Honestly, the vegetative state was challenging, but not the most challenging. I think it was when I came back in 2010, I went from 11 to 15 overnight and then had to find normalcy and find, you know, my way back into the world, which was very challenging.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and how was that? I mean, because in your mind, you know, you obviously you wanted to come out for 4 years, but, you know, how was that? When you first realized, you know, you're in there and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, things are coming back. I mean, that's got to be a big shock to you because you visualized this for a long time, but now it's actually kind of happening, right?
I think it's still a shock every now and then. But yeah, I was in survival mode and then I was in recovery mode and then I had to go back to school. And so it was very challenging because I had been through so much so quickly. And then to find normalcy was one of the biggest battles. And I dealt with a lot of post-traumatic stress. So it was conquering that every morning. And then it was trying to get my body to work that hadn't worked in a really long time. And so it was just, at times felt like I had every negative thing going against me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I got to imagine those first conversations once you kind of came back with your family, you know, because they had no idea that you could hear and knew exactly what was going on the outside. I mean, those had to be some really powerful conversations.
Oh, absolutely. And my family never treated me like I was gone. But it was hard. I think everyone dealt with it differently. We all had to process it. And I think I was the last one to really cry and talk about it because my family all was dealing with it at the time while I was in survival mode. And so, we just talked a lot and we said, okay, how do we find a new normal? My family was like, how do we help you gain independence and be able to, cause I was in I had to be in a wheelchair. I was paralyzed. And so there was a lot of just adapting and figuring out, okay, where do we go from here? How do we go on living our lives to the most normal possibility?
Yeah. Well,
so it was challenging.
Yeah. Well, and you know, let's talk about sports because I mean, at some point you found swimming again. I know you said, you know, beforehand you were always in the water. You love swimming. I mean, you know, and you said that was actually a freeing experience once you got back in the water because then you didn't need the chair anymore.
Yeah. So my brother like kind of helped me get over that fear and threw me in the water. And I think getting over that fear and finding independence and kind of piecing back, okay, this is Victoria, this is me, you know, you're not gone and forgotten, I think was a huge part of my recovery and just finding what I could do. You know, when the world was trying to tell me what I couldn't do, I think my family worked really hard to show me what I could do. And that swimming was a huge game changer for me to embrace that and learn about that.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, obviously you found, you know, tons of success in swimming with U.S. Paralympic swim team. I mean, you know, and you know, kind of take us through that journey because, I mean, here you go from being locked in to now, you know, you've got medals around your neck, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was within 2 years. I go from waking up to a vegetative state to winning on the world stage. There was a lot going on. There was it was very surreal at the time, but at the same time, so symbolic for me to realize, like, I'm here, I did it, I lived. But we still, as a family, look back and laugh and be like, that wasn't a long time. And how did that happen? And so I don't necessarily know if I have the right words to describe that. I think we're still like, wow, that really happened.
Well, you know, and let's move forward from there because, you know, obviously now you found success in the pool, you've got medals around your neck, but you're still in the wheelchair. I mean, you know, and now, I mean, I think this is like a massive step in this story here is how you go from the wheelchair to actually walking again because at this point you still had no use of your legs, correct?
Yeah, I was told I would never walk again, which I had accepted but didn't accept. You know, I kind of had to accept it, but it was still something that bothered me because I literally conquered everything except that. So that was like a tough pill to swallow and embrace. But my family, if you can't already tell, my family is one to not give up on one another. And so we ended up in California at this place called Project Walk, which is a paralysis recovery center. And that was kind of the first glimpse of like, wait, there's a little hope. And you know, you can't help, but there's the only failure really is not trying. And so my family decided that as a gift to me and also our community, they would bring Project Walk to the East Coast. And we opened up Project Walk Boston in 2015. And I just trained there for days and hours every single day. And it was really just a goal of mine of like, well, you know what? I can only try. If that's the best I can do, then I'm going to try my hardest. And I did, and I had just this incredible team behind me, and it was 6 hours a day. It was very grueling. It was very intense, but you know, like training for London and training in swimming, it was kind of my next gold medal, as my trainer would say. And so we just kept working on it and working towards it, and then we got a flicker in my legs, and that was kind of the beginning of getting back on my feet.
Yeah. Well, and how was that first step? Because, you know, obviously, you know, you've come out of your vegetative state, you know, that was a big, massive step. You know, you go, you know, you're in the pool, that's freeing. But now all of a sudden you take your first step. I mean, that had to be so liberating for you.
It was actually really scary because I was so wobbly and I hadn't been on my feet in 10 years. So it was so foreign to me. And wobbly and scary, but it was very exciting. But I'm a person that I don't like to just stop there. So I was like, okay, well, I need to take another step and another step. And so, if anything, my trainers had to be like, okay, Victoria, like let's get excited about this. We're not stopping there, but let's get excited at least. And I was like, okay, but we gotta keep going. And so, it was exciting, but at the same time, I'm very. I'm a very determined gal, so I was like, how can we do better?
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I want to talk about this too because you know your story is so impactful, and I mean, we'll talk here in a minute about ESPN and Dancing with the Stars, but it's opened up so many doors and so many platforms. I mean, I put your name into YouTube, and the amount of shows that you have been on, and I don't just mean shows. I mean, you know, mainstream places being able to talk about this and tell your story. I mean, at this point, that had to have been kind of a surreal feeling for you because now all of a sudden everybody's taking notice of this story and you know, and what you've accomplished.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's getting crazier by the day, I think. But, you know, for me, for the longest time, I didn't want to share my story, if I'm being completely honest with you. I wanted to just kind of move on with my life. I didn't think it was anything of any significance. And that took me a really long time to understand that, no, this has a significance. This has meaning. And so it's pretty surreal.
Yeah. Well, and how did – obviously, you're a sports person, but how did the doors to ESPN open? Because I mean, this, you know, them signing you to your contract. I mean, you know, that was massive because, you know, you became one of the youngest hosts in ESPN history, correct?
Yes. I was 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, how did those doors open? I mean, there's people that worked their entire career for this and they obviously saw something in you. I mean, how did that conversation, because it's not like you were growing up going, hey, I want to be a host, you know, a sports host when I get older. Right.
No, I mean, I was a fan of ESPN, but after London, I had done a lot of speaking tours and was doing a lot of press, and my agent called me and was like, hey, ESPN wants you to come down for some interviews, give a couple speeches, you know, make your rounds. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I didn't really understand the magnitude of it, but my boyfriend at the time was a huge ESPN fanatic, and so I think, like, I saw his response to it and was like, oh, you know, this would be cool. But never in a million years imagined that. And so kind of did my thing on campus and was approached by an executive who asked if I had thought of a career in sports broadcasting. And I looked at him and I very politely said no. You know, I had dealt with enough media. And he's like, well, let me take you on a tour. So I just so happened to get, like, getting a tour at ESPN is a big deal because it's very exclusive. And so it's not a common thing that, like, you have to have connections to do it. And so we happened to get, like, the old school, like, tour guide who's been there since the inception of ESPN.
Nice.
And he took us everywhere. And so I got to watch a live taping of SportsCenter. And when I tell you, it was like an aha moment for me. A light bulb went off. And all of a sudden, I was like, I need to be here. This is amazing. And so I had been kind of searching for my next challenge. I had done everything I could do in the sport of swimming. And so I was kind of like, what's next? You know, where do I was praying a lot about that and being like, where do I go from here? And I started job shadowing. I got to know a couple of the anchors and started job shadowing. And every time I was on campus, I would meet another executive and another person involved and heard the same thing. You're too young. You have no experience. And that whole spiel, you know, people work. I wasn't even 20. They were telling me, you know, people work 20 years before they get a shot here. They're not even 20 years old. And so I was like, yeah, but I'll deliver coffee. You know, I'll really do it. And I just kind of kept plugging along and plugging away. And then one incredible human being, Bill Bunnell, was running, they were launching the Special Olympic World Games, and it was the first ever, like, national coverage of this event. And so I had met with him a couple times, and he brought me into his office, and I was 20 at the time, and he said, we'd like to have you as our reporter for this event. And I kind of looked, and I think had I not been sitting in my wheelchair, I probably would have fallen over. And I said, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I want to give you your shot here. He's like, because every executive was like, well, how do we get your foot in the door? And Bill's colleague, Kate Jackson, was like, well, your whole body's in the door now. And so it was those two individuals that gave me a shot. And then so Special Olympics was kind of my tryout. And literally on the eve of my 21st birthday, I got a contract and moved to Connecticut and started my career.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. You know, I just love the story there because you're just like, I'll do anything. Coffee, whatever. You're just like, I want
it. Oh,
yeah. Whatever it takes.
I was going to strap a wagon with my wheelchair. I was ready to do whatever I needed to do. I just wanted to be there. I knew I needed to be there.
Yeah. So,
and you just know, like, I feel like for me, I've always just known, like, where my calling is and where I'm supposed to be. I will do what I have to do to get there.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've had moments like that in my career where now I'm doing a lot of TV work and things like that on the motorsports side of things. But it's like, you know, there was the first event and it was years and years ago, but somebody handed me a microphone and they said, hey, can you MC this? Our guy backed out, and I grabbed it. And like 2 hours later, I'm like, this is what I want to do. And it's like,
yeah,
you just have that light bulb
moment.
That's
really what happened.
Yeah.
It's your like aha moment where you just know that this is what you're supposed to be doing. And it's the coolest thing in the world to just like find that out and then have someone give you a shot or have circumstances lead you right there. It's amazing. It just shows you that there's a plan for all of us. And sometimes you don't even know that like something even greater is there.
It's like the stars all align at one given time, and it's just like you said,
yeah,
it's that aha moment, and the light bulb goes off, and everything becomes clear, you know, and it's like you can't explain it until it actually happens to you.
No, you really can't, and that moment is so crystal clear. Like, that opened so many doors and brought me to a whole different place in my life and with what I wanted to do, and it's just been an incredible experience to be a part of that.
So I want to talk here real quick about Dancing with the Stars, because I know through this whole process, I mean, that was something that, you know, that was kind of a goal of yours, right? Dancing with the Stars. And I know I went back and I watched some of the videos, and I got to tell you, they're pretty emotional, especially the one, I believe it was a foxtrot, where you were getting out of the wheelchair. And, I mean, there was tears in your eyes. You know, and I'm, like, tearing up watching this. And they show everybody in the audience and your family. Everybody's tearing up. And I'm like, I mean, that had to have been such, I don't know, such an emotional experience going on that show for you and everything that you've gone through.
That show, I mean, I was very fortunate to be paired with a really incredible human, Val Schmurkowski, and right away, they don't tell you who your partner is, so you come out and then they surprise you, and so Val didn't want to know who his partner was. So we both were surprised and then kind of got to know each other very quickly, and it was really cool because right away we knew we had an opportunity to really redefine what's possible and to spread light and love into this world that really needed it a lot back in last fall. And so it was super emotional, but how Val choreographed and put so much thought into every dance and every time we worked together was really incredible. And it was kind of the first time in my life where I really found a purpose for what I'd gone through, a purpose for the pain and an understanding and an appreciation for it, because that was kind of the first major platform where I was vulnerable, where I shared and cried. And I mean, that foxtrot, I was a mess that whole day. And Val wanted my wheelchair there, wanted to celebrate that when I looked at it with such pain and confusion, he wanted to celebrate that. So it was just a really incredible experience, and an experience that completely changed my life and has brought me to places I couldn't even imagine being.
Well, and I want to ask you, and this is just, I mean, you've got that all going on, you know, the emotional side of it and things like that. But I know I talked with a few months back, Chris Masder, loser who went on Dancing with the Stars, this, I think the athlete edition. And he was saying, he's like, I'm a professional athlete. And he goes, you have no idea what kind of training goes into Dancing with the Stars. He's like, you absolutely have no idea. He's like, that's the hardest thing I've ever done. So you've got all this. Meanwhile, you're trying to, I'm figuring you're probably like most that go on there. You've danced a little bit, but you don't have a background in dance, correct?
Oh, I didn't dance at all. I've been paralyzed for 10 years. Yeah. So when I joined the show, I'd only been walking for like a year without any assistance. So when I'm doing the show, and I can't feel my legs, so it was like a complete wake-up call for me, because I was like, holy crap, how am I going to do this? And that's where, you know, Val came in and just really showed me what I was capable of. But it's hard work. It is grueling. And I thought learning to walk again was going to be hard, but this by far was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Is this one of those things where now that you've done it, you're like, oh, it would be fun to go like as a hobby and do the dancing like this, like ballroom dancing and things, or are you just totally like, no, I'm over it. Like that ship has sailed.
It would be fun. I mean, when I see Val, he's always trying to twirl me, but it'd be fun, but I really, you know, I have to, Val's my dance partner. And so, it would be hard to kind of just do it.
Yeah.
For fun, because or do it, you know, for an hour, because I'm so used to the vigorous, you know, get it done and be challenged. But I mean, it's a cool skill to have, and it's definitely fun. You know, I went to my friend Drew's wedding, who was also on the show, and we tried to dance together, and we were not stellar at it. But it's a fun skill to have. Like, it's definitely fun to be able to bust it out, but I think it's a whole different ball game when you're on the show and then to go to just a normal dance class.
So fast forward to today, obviously, I know the past couple months have been pretty big with you. You've obviously, your book, you know, Locked In has come out. You also had a 30 for 30, correct? I mean, kind of take us through the last couple of months, because just on the media side of things, I mean, you've got a lot going on.
It's a little chaotic. There's been a lot going on. It's been really, really wonderful and really, really fun. But yeah, there's been a lot of Victoria. So it's been definitely a lot of fun, but it's been daunting because there's so much more of me right now out there, but it's been fun. You know, this whole past year has been craziness, and it's just getting crazier. So I'm just kind of I'm strapped on my seatbelt and I'm just enjoying the ride.
Yeah. So what's next for you? I guess that's the logical question, right? Like what is next? Obviously you've got this amazing job. You've got a book out now. You know, you've had things documented through 30 for 30. I mean, what's next for you?
I can't share too much about what I'm doing next, but I'm diving into the acting and producing world. So I've got some really fun projects in the works and it's just been a lot of fun. I have a very overactive imagination, so I'm letting that run free right now. And then I just launched the Victoria's Victory Foundation a year ago. So we have a huge gala coming up, and we're just really helping a lot of people. And so that's been tremendous. And then probably some more books. I've been a little lost puppy not having to write anything every day. So, yeah, just kind of continuing to make every day matter and know when I go to bed every night that, like, I've done something good.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, talking about that book and not having something to do, not writing every day, I mean, I've talked to quite a few people who have written books, and they say, like, it takes, you know, the process. There's a process there, and you get so ingrained in the process. Once that process goes away, it's like there's a void almost.
Oh, yeah, it's so challenging because you put so much into it, and it becomes a part of your everyday, and then you can, you know, be on an airplane and just sleep or watch a movie. So I've enjoyed that, but I'm kind of like, I have more to share and more to talk. And so I'm really excited to kind of dive back into that.
Yeah. Well, definitely looking forward to, you know, what's to come in the future. I appreciate you taking the time to call in, Victoria. You know, thank you.
Thank you,
you know, it's been fun watching your ride the past few months.
Thank you so much. I feel like I'm just getting started. So thank you so much for having me today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Victoria.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Man, Victoria Arlen did not disappoint today on Project Action. Thanks to her for coming on. You know, she's so young. She's got such a bright career ahead of her. I can't wait to see where she goes next. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview as much as I did doing that interview. She's somebody I would definitely like to have back on very, very soon. And you know, if you enjoyed this podcast, Podcast One has a ton of amazing podcasts. And you know what? The World Series is just around the corner, and Podcast One Sportsnet is your home for the best coverage around. Listen to expert analysis and rundowns of each game with the Rich Eisen Show, the Dan Patrick Show, Baseball Chill, and so many more. Listen to these shows on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure and listen to Project Action on iTunes. Go over there, hit the subscribe button, and leave a rating or review. And when you leave that review, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the bottom of the review, and I will follow you back on social media. Make sure and check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, on my website at downanddirtyshow.com, Podcast One, or iTunes. Same goes there. Rate, review, and subscribe. I am at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. Thank you guys for following me. Next week, it is Eddie Braun. The following week, it is Matt DeAndrea from Adam Carolla's CarCast. And then we are going to continue rolling on with some of the best interviews in all of, I guess, all things action, right? That is what the show is. You never know who we're going to have on the show, and that's what makes it even that much more exciting. Make sure and go check out our archives. Some great stuff there. Hit me up at SEMA if you're going to be out there. Love those DMs on social media. Same thing for Camp Razor, and I will be in Beverly Hills at Podcast One in studio with Spike Ferriston and Natalie Ava Marie in November. So be on the lookout for those podcasts when they come up. Thank you guys for tuning in, and make sure and tune in next week. Until then, be safe. As always, game on.